Why did Solomon, by the Holy Spirit, give us Proverbs? Proverbs are short statements that have within them a content of wisdom that you'll find nowhere else. And so as he introduced it, he said that the proverb was written in verse 2 of chapter 1 that you might know wisdom and instruction. It says that it was written to discern the sayings of understanding, that you could have a grasp of things. It was that you could receive instruction and wise behavior, how you might live upright and have a good and live right before God. That it might be wise behavior, righteousness and justice and equity, to give prudence to the naive, to be able to give people and lift them up so they can have common sense, if you will. It was written, if you will, so a wise man will hear and increase in learning. So you may think you know it all, but if you read Proverbs, you're going to learn something you don't know. It will help you to increase, if you will, in learning. And a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. To understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Last week I introduced you to the context of being upright. An upright person. We looked at the aspects at the beginning of the book and the whole context of the book is to be upright is to be a man or a woman of wisdom. We know that wisdom comes from God. Wisdom doesn't come from any book. You can have all the knowledge in the world and be a wise fool, a knowledgeable person. But you don't have wisdom only if indeed God gives it to you. James says, if you lack wisdom, ask of God, and He will grant it to you without measure. Pour it out, if you will, upon our individual lives. And we all need wisdom. Wisdom begins with a fear of God. So the lack of fear of God will only create, if you will, a world of naive, a lack of common sense and understanding, and the more and more and more you'll see the behavior of people getting out of control and all the other aspects that we see even demonstrated on our streets today. Wisdom comes from God. An upright person not only is a person seeking from the wisdom that comes from God, but they are humble, a humble person. Everybody believes that everybody should be humble, that is, the other guy. The lack of humility, as far as God is concerned, God hates pride. He hates it. The haughty He will bring down in spirit. There's no doubt that God's judgment is very clear upon a person who exalts themselves, who is not humble in their spirits, etc. And the point of issue is, of course, as Peter said in the New Testament, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that He might exalt you in the proper time. So wise people are not only walking in the wisdom of God, but they also are walking in a spirit of humility. Humility is simply a context of being able to balance out one's strengths and one's weaknesses. And we all have them. To think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think is where most people get in problems. Okay? Thirdly, we looked at the fact that an upright person or an individual is just. Just simply means to be fair. To be even-handed, not to have and set people one person above another, not to be partial, but to be impartial. That is just. In fact, the Bible condemns us showing partiality to another person, be it rich, poor, educated, or uneducated. As far as God is concerned, we're all on the same level. We've all sinned, we've all fallen short of the glory of God, and we all need to be forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ if we're going to be found in the promises that God has given. So an upright person, as it may be known in Proverbs, is to do righteous and justice is the desire by the Lord more than sacrifice. God desires then that we not only be walking as wise people, as humble people, as just people. The three today, God desires is that we as individuals would be a person that is living and in peace. We're peace-loving people. We're self-controlled. And we're kind. Proverbs is filled with it. Proverbs 20, verse 3 says, keeping away from strife is an honor to a man, but any fool can quarrel. That's what it says. Any fool can quarrel. In fact, in the book of Timothy, Paul writes to this young preacher and said, a servant of God must not be quarrelsome, but gentle, whatever. And so as we look at the context of Scripture, we know that the Bible teaches over and over again that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He's the Prince of Peace. I said He's the Prince of Peace. And that is indeed what we are. Blessed are the peacemakers. They will be called the children of God. Anybody can create a fight. Anybody can create a quarrel. Anybody can cause havoc. Anybody can do that. But in Proverbs 3, verse 13 and 17, it says, how blessed is the man who finds wisdom and gains understanding. And then in verse 17, because wisdom, her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. All her paths are peace. All her paths are peace. What? Wisdom's path is always a path of peace. And so you and I evaluate what's going on in our world today, when we see what's going on in our streets today, all over the world today. People, so far as I'm concerned, they lack wisdom, they lack humility, they lack justice, and they lack a concept of what it means to be living at peace. They have no concept of it. They have no concept of it. And the aspects, of course, is that everybody wants to have everything, far as they're concerned, their way. Their way. And the aspects of that, of course, is that you and I will see more and more of what's going on in the world today. I'm serious. Okay? Doesn't matter. We live in a world where darkness is adverse to anything that stands for the good. And as long as you have anyone propagating good and wanting to do good, you'll have evil prevailing and fighting and warring against it. It really is. And so, blessed are the peacemakers. Happy are they who make peace, for they shall be called the children of God. Okay? Some people, it doesn't matter where they go, trouble follows them. A person who is indeed an upright person is also self-controlled. They're self-controlled, okay? You see, light is good, right? But too much light can hurt your eyes. You know that? When there is an eclipse, what do they tell you not to do? If there's going to be an explosion of an atomic bomb or hydrogen bomb, what do they say don't do? Because it'll blind you. You know that? Some of us, as we get older, get night blindness, they call it, don't they? Where the lights are such that it just simply blinds you. So light is good, but an excess of it, can be harmful, right? Is food good? Everybody agree food is okay, right? All right? But many of us are overly attracted to it. Okay? And if indeed we become overly attracted to food, it can create some problems, right? If we become overly attracted to it, it can create problem. You see, pleasure is good. It is. Pleasure is good. But it can become a time, if you will, of our lives where in excess it can become sensuality and lead into all forms of ungodliness. But pleasure still is good, right? You see, Proverbs really has a lot of aspects in it. I've shared with you some of my granddad's proverbs, you know. Some people, they talk by the yard, they think by the inch, need to be moved by the foot. That's got a lot of common sense to it, right? And then there are those who are like a fence. They run around the lot, but they don't go anywhere. that has a picture in it in itself, right? And then some people think, and they have such a dynamic personality because they're always exploding. Self-control is one of the virtues that we find within the context of Proverbs. Proverbs 16:32. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who captures a city. You get a picture there? Somebody's self-controlled. They control their spirit. They control their temper. They control their anger. Proverbs 14:17. A quick-tempered man acts foolishly. And how many times have we seen somebody act foolishly out of being and getting quickly angered? In fact, the qualifications of the elder is that he is not quick to anger. He's temperate and self-controlled. Proverbs 25, verse 28. Like a city that is broken into and without walls is a man who has no control over his spirit. Wow, that's pretty picturesque. A city, you know, with no walls, no way, nothing, is like a man, if you will, who has no control over his spirit. Proverbs 29:11. A fool always loses his temper, but a wise man holds it back. Self-control has a lot to say about it, doesn't it? And the context. You see, maturity is not getting old or age has nothing to do with it. It is the ability of one to control their spirit. That is maturity. In fact, one of the aspects of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, isn't that interesting? One of them, the fruit of the Spirit, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, self-control. Must be we need help there. And so God gave us the Holy Spirit to help us to have that. But to picture the reality of what's happening in our individual lives today, in the world of darkness and the kingdom of the devil, which he controls the world as the prince of the world, 2 Timothy chapter 3, I believe, is an unbelievable picture of what you and I can anticipate in a world that has no fear of God anymore, has no concept of wisdom. A spirit of lacking of humility is permeating our country. Narcissism is growing like wildfire all through our country today because of a president who is probably a psychopath. And the president before him was immoral and had relationships with who knows how many women. And we have seen immorality and marriages become breaking up more and more and more in our country. And unfaithfulness is growing like wildfire. And narcissism, like puffing ourselves up, thinking more highly of ourselves, wanting it my way, is growing like wildfire in our country today. The man who sets as the example in our country today, as a president, has a lot to say what happens in that country. Every nation, every civilization that has lasted forever has established model roles for their young people, and that model role has had an impact of that country. You understand that? And when you have people who call themselves the president of the United States and they generate an attitude, a lifestyle, and whatever, it's a little leaven leavens the whole lump. You ever heard that before? Well, I have. Now look at what 2 Timothy says. Chapter 3. Realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brooders, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than the lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power, avoid such men as these. Now, is that a picture of today or isn't it? I'm asking you. Is that a picture of our day? You bet it is. You bet it is. And the more we remove God from our knowledge, out of our school systems, and more of that man stands and rejecting that there is a God and being accountable to God, the more we're going to see the lack of wisdom and humility and justice. And the more we're going to see people getting out of control, and the more we're going to find them not being peace lovers, they want to cause all types of rioting and problems and difficulties and you name it. And the more we're going to see the last one today, because an upright man, woman, is kind. The kind. Kind has a background of being sweet. How many of you have bought apples and you love them because they're bitter and they're sour? Well, when I buy an apple, you know they have identifiable characteristics of the apple. And they say that it is fairly sweet. They say that it is really sweet. What kind of apple do you think I buy? Huh? Kindness is sweetness. It's going beyond the expected. It's doing not that which is anticipated or expected. The Gentiles, Jesus said, live according to that law. They only do what's anticipated or what's expected. Kindness is raising above that. It's going the second mile. It's turning the other cheek. It's giving a cloak off your back. It's doing what most people wouldn't even dream of doing. That is the background of the word being kind. It's seeing somebody else's need and being willing to do whatever you could do to meet it and to help it. That's kindness. If one is not kind, then they're the wrong kind. Okay? Proverbs 19:22. That which makes a man or a person, a woman, anyone, to be desired is his kindness. Read it. That which makes a person desirable is their what? Kindness. How do you treat your wife? How do you treat your husband? How do you treat your neighbor? How do you treat the people you work with at the workplace? What is your attitude and relationship as you walk through world, in the world in which you live in? Do people see you as a wise person? Do they see you as a person with wisdom, discretion, understanding? Do they see you as a humble person that doesn't have any desire to exalt yourself or make yourself feel like you're better than anyone else? Because people were not. No. When you compare yourself to Jesus Christ, you and I don't amount to whatever. Do they see you as a person that is just? That no matter what, they know that your word is your word. When you say you're going to do something, you'll do it. That doesn't matter what it is. You're honest, you're upright, you're fair-handed, you're a just person. Is that how they see you? Do they see you as an individual in every aspect that you desire peace and you seek after it? As Paul said to the Roman church, live at peace with all men as much as it is within you. Live at peace. Pursue it, peace. Pursue peace, Paul said to Timothy. Pursue it. Pursue it. This is a book of peace. A book of reconciliation, not only bringing man back into a peaceful relationship with God, it is to bring peace between man and man, that we can walk together. We become brothers and sisters in Christ, that we love one another even as we've been loved, and that we forgive as we've been forgiven, and that we are indeed a peace-loving people. Not only that, but we find that we are indeed self-controlled. We're not losing our tempers. We don't get upset. Every aspect. I mean, some people, it's amazing how and what and little it takes just to ruin their day. Some of us, we'd be better off to be like a duck and just let the water run off our back instead of quacking up. Oh, that was a good one. I just made that one up, right? Point is that it is amazing to me what you and I see today. I saw it work. I was in the workplace. I know. I dealt with people. I interviewed people. Anybody out there living and working with people know what it means, right? That people lose their temper and they're cool, use all kinds of words and vocabulary, and do whatever. Isn't it interesting today that in the political world, the only ability they have to try to make themselves look better is to lie about the other person? Have you ever noticed that? Huh? And that's what's going on today. But being kind, you see, kindness is the golden chain by which society is bound together. Write that down. Kindness is the golden chain by which society is bound together. And the lack of kindness just literally destroys any society, any home, any relationship. It doesn't matter what it is. Because the Bible says love is kind. Love is kind. Colossians 3:12 says, put on a heart of compassion and kindness. Colossians 3:12, put on a heart of compassion and kindness. Galatians 5:22 says, the fruit of the Spirit, again, is kindness. Kindness. Look at Proverbs chapter 31, verse 26, ladies, grandmas, people. Proverbs 31:26. It's a description of this worthy woman. And this is what it says about her. She opens her mouth in wisdom. And the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. Wow. You know who taught me to be kind? You know who demonstrated and showed me an example of kindness? It was my mother. If there was anyone in our neighborhood, I don't care who it was, a woman having a baby, woman being sick, it doesn't matter. My mom would be there cleaning the house, cooking the meal, taking care of the baby. She was always out there. She had and was a woman of kindness. Of all the things I remember, you know, as a young boy, a little guy, you know, you don't always appreciate everything. But I do know, and I remember my mom teaching me that the basic element of who I needed to be was to be kind and to learn kindness and to be a kind person and to feel and have compassion for people and care about people. And if you've seen somebody that is in need, you move beyond. It calls upon my mom's sacrifice. I remember her doing washings for people while she still had to take care of 5 kids. I remember her cooking meals and making more bread than she needed to make because she was taking loaves of bread to so-and-so and pies to so-and-so and on and on and on. My mother taught me and showed me what it meant to be a kind person. And I pray to God that I have a spirit of kindness. I care about people just like she did. Just like she did. Because I believe it's an attribute and a virtue that is not present in a lot of our world that we live in today. Amen? So there are many virtues that you can find in Proverbs. As I studied that, these are some kind of jumped out at me, you know. And I'm not trying to be nasty or anything of that nature. I just know that sometimes, you know, we're all like canoes. We need to be paddled. That was a good one, wasn't it? Huh? Because think about it. Okay. But some of you are like sponges. You really are. I find the more I hug you and the more I squeeze you, the more you give, the more I get out of you. So if I'm squeezing you a little bit, just know that I like what you have to give. Because you're like a sponge. You really are. You have a lot of kindness. You have a lot of greatness in you. You really do. And I just know that what Proverbs says to Bill is, even though I may be a little wise, and even though I may have some knowledge, and I may have some understanding, I still don't know all of it yet. And so as I studied Proverbs, I begin and I see verses that just jump out at me. How about you? Huh? I see them. They're there. They just jump out at me. And if you want to be a wise grandma, a wise mother, then take your grandchildren, set them on your knees, and read Proverbs, and teach them what that book has to say about being wise and humble, peace-loving, self-controlled, kind. Just teach them. Show them. I want my grandchildren to be upright, God-fearing grandchildren, because out of the fear of God comes wisdom. So if there's anything I teach my grandchildren, is that they need to know that there is a God who loves them, but is going to hold them accountable for their behavior. There really is. There really is. So as you think of Solomon, I know that you can look at his life. He wasn't always too wise, was he? He made a lot of mistakes, didn't he? Yeah, I did. And he paid the consequences, didn't he? So even though God gave him a gift of wisdom, Solomon was just like everyone else. He was a fool sometimes. And a fool is one who acts contrary to reason. You see, a fool is the one who says there is no God. A fool is. And the word fool comes out in Proverbs all the time. But my Lord told me to be careful that I don't call another person a fool, or as it might be, empty-headed, or whatever, because I could be in danger of hellfire and brimstone. Okay? But God can call people fools. And God does call certain people fools. He really does. And so all I do is quote what and who God calls a fool. Because I just see a lot of lack of common sense today, don't you? We need a little more wisdom. And God calls upon us as a people to pray for those who are in authority, for those who are in leadership, for those who have taken those responsibilities, and that's all you can do. You can pray for God that these men will be God-fearing and they would seek His wisdom. There's a lot of things happening in the world today. The prince of this world and the kingdom of darkness. You see, Satan knows he only has a short time. You know that, don't you? And he is Bible says he is full of wrath. He's angry. He's like a roaring lion going about devouring, destroying. He's a murderer. And he's going to destroy this country if he can, because he don't want this country to become good again. He doesn't want it to become a God-fearing people again. He has no desire for that. He'd rather we just keep right on going down the hill of immorality and hate and jealousy and greed and the love of money and the desire for power, etc., etc., etc. He'd love that, wouldn't he? Because he knows that will destroy us as a people. He knows that. God bless you. Read Proverbs. Seek for its wisdom. Let it fill you with the wisdom that comes from God, not some book, except the Bible, of course. Okay? Let's pray. God and Father in heaven, I thank you, Father, for loving us the way you do. Thank you for giving us your word. And thank you, God, for sending that word in flesh to dwell among us, that we could see his life and see that Jesus indeed was the example of living an upright life. We find that God, he walked in wisdom. We find that he was humble, and he humbled himself even to the obedience of the death of the cross. We find, God, that he indeed was a man of peace and desired to bring peace between himself and God and between man. We know it's a message of peace. He was just. God, in every way, his justice, even today, your justice endures forever. Thank you, God, for his self-control, that even though he was beaten and even though he was spit upon and he was lied about, Jesus still went about doing good. And God was so grateful for his kindness. He went beyond what was called upon. He gave his life for each and every one of us. God, may we lay our life for the brethren, for one another. May we be and demonstrate that kindness that we see in him. So be with us today. Bless us. Continue to help us to grow and to mature, not in age, but in our understanding and wisdom that comes from you. And I thank you and I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.